cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, then he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. So I want to bring across to you tonight to give all your burdens to the Lord, because he wants to take care of you. And I would venture to say in this meeting tonight, there's probably 99% of the people that have cares, worries, burdens, stresses, heaviness, anxieties. So we need to learn how to give our cares to God. A question that we always can pose to people is in life, and that is, have you ever felt like running away from all your troubles, from all your trials? But you're not alone. We've all been there, and perhaps we'll be confronted with that again. It won't be the last time. The Word of God tells us exactly what to do. If we follow His Word, we'll be free from every kind of anxiety, all our worries, every kind of stress that you can imagine, and every fear that's known to mankind. There are many who actually have tried to run away from their troubles and found that somehow it catches up to them in the end. The answer is that you can't outrun your problems. You can never run away from them. You can't run away from worries. Taking a geographical escape is only a temporary measure. Wherever you go, your mind goes with you. Now let's ask ourselves, what is worry? Worry, if you look in any kind of dictionary, you'll find that worry is a feeling of anxiousness about a potential problem. It's fearful, upsetting thoughts that dominate your mind. It's thoughts that stresses you out and cause you to fear or to have anxiety. It's thoughts about things you cannot solve on your own without God's help. So it's daily pressures of life that you can't escape. People have used a variety of methods to solve worry. Perhaps they've used illegitimate or illicit means to solve it, like maybe taking drugs. Some people have taken alcohol, gambling, and other perhaps habits of sinful indulgences. You know, natural thinking is, we have natural thinking and we have spiritual thinking. Natural thinking is thoughts based on human efforts that come short of solving life's difficulties. Thinking about natural, on the natural level, limits us to our own ability, and what God can do for us or through us. Don't be dominated by natural thinking. Let God's thoughts dominate your thinking. Spiritual thinking is based on a higher level. It's thinking about what God says about your situation. That's the spiritual thinking. It says what God thinks about the situation and how God is going to solve the situation. So we have to learn to deal with worry with God's thoughts. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. I want to read the New Living Translation. It says, give all your worries, all your cares to God, for He cares about you. I like the Amplified Bible here. It says, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I want us to stand up for a minute. I want you to stand up for a minute, put your stuff down for a second. I want you to stand up, and I want us to pray a prayer. I want you to just listen to me when I pray. And you can follow along under your breath. You can just do the same thing. Maybe we'll make a faith confession after. Say, dear God, you are my very own Father. I am your child. I'm coming to you right now. I'm lifting up every burden, every worry, and every thought, all my stresses, and all my burdens. I'm casting it on you. I'm throwing all my cares on you. So I thank you that you have them right now. I don't have them right now because I've given to you. Thank you, Lord. You said you care about me and you'll solve my situation for me. You're working on my behalf. So right now, I don't have a care, I don't have a worry, and I don't have a concern because you're working on my behalf, solving my situation. Every time I think about it, if it comes back to my mind, I'll say to myself and to the devil, and I'll say, God has it. He's taking care of it. I'm not taking care of it. I don't have a worry. I don't have a concern. I will not fear, and I will not worry. So I'm thanking you right now. Lift your hands and begin to thank him. Thank you, Lord. We cast every care on you, every worry, every thanksgiving. So we thank you. We thank you for it, Lord God, because you are working on it right now. And when I sleep tonight, I want to thank you. When I wake up during the night, I want to thank you that you're working on it right now for me. Hallelujah. I'm not worrying about my family. I'm not worrying about finances. I'm not worrying about work. I'm not worrying about my children. I'm not worrying about anything. I give you praise and thanksgiving and honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank God for it. And so that's what you do when you're worried. You carry your, you know, you might take one problem. I just kind of do it generally. You can do that in your prayer time. You know, every morning, every day, I get up and I quote different things to myself. I say, you know, sometimes I'll say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And so today I cast every care, every burden on the Lord. I will not worry about one thing. I cast every care. I'm not going to be worried because you said in your word that don't worry about anything. And so I'm not going to worry about anything. And if a thought comes to me, I just say, thank God you have it. I don't have it. So I don't take it. So the thoughts will come back to you again. You have to just say, no, I don't have it. You speak to it. You say, financial problems, I don't have you. God's taking care of you right now. If you worry about your children, say, thank God, I'm not worrying about my children. I cast every care about my child on the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for solving it. You have people right over there, wherever they are, and people are running to help them right now. I have favor. My children have favor. Thank God that money is coming. Thank God I have a home. Thank God you paid all my debt. Amen? I keep saying that. So I just want to remind you. So learn to deal with worry with God's word. You got natural thinking. Natural thinking says, oh, man, I got all this worry. I got to solve this situation. How am I going to solve it? It's worrying me to death. I can't help it. I can't solve it. That's not the way you should do it. Say, thank God he has it. And the Lord is taking care of it right now. I'm not going to worry about it. Amen? So 1 Peter 5:7 says, give all your worries, your cares to God, for he cares about you. And as I mentioned, I like the Amplified Bible. It says, cast in the whole of your care, all your anxieties and worries, your concerns once and for all on God. So we need to learn to take our worries to God by giving them to him. Someone said this, worry is interest paid on troubles before it comes due. Somebody said, worry does not empty tomorrow's sorrows, it empties today's strength. Somebody said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't take you anywhere. The only way to worry about, the only way not to worry is to pray about everything. A day of worry is more exhausting than a week of work, somebody says. So, you know, it doesn't do you any good. Jesus said, why worry about tomorrow? Today has more new worries coming. So, you know, God has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. Jeremiah 29 says, I know I have plans I have for you. He says, they're good plans. Plans of a good future and a hope. You know, I like Psalm 38:8. It says, the Lord will accomplish that which concerns me. You know, God says, I'm going to, whatever concerns you, I'm concerned about. I'm going to take care of whatever you're concerned about. That's what God says. It doesn't matter what your care is. No matter what it is, he's going to take care of you. The Bible says in Psalm 38, verse 8, I'm reading the TPT translation. TPT. It says, you keep every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you've begun in me. You know, God's, when you came into being in the kingdom of God, you know, when you learn how to come to him and he's working on you right now. He's working on your problems right now as you're sitting in this room. Amen. Okay. You might not feel like it. It might not look like it. But as you trust God, he's there working. He has his angels working. He has people leading them to help you, opening doors for you, causing things to happen. He's causing good situations to happen to your good. God keeps all of his promises. And you must know his promises and stand on them. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. So how many things should you be worried about? Nothing. He said, instead of worrying, pray about them. That means to talk to God about them. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. So when you say, Father, I want to thank you, I cast my care upon you, and I'm giving this to you, Lord, because I can't handle it. Maybe you got a problem with sickness or disease. Say, Lord, I cast this care about this situation of maybe you got diabetes. I cast this diabetes situation that I'm experiencing right now on you. And thank you. According to 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I'm healed. I thank you. My body doesn't feel like it's healed. And it doesn't look right. The doctor didn't say anything good about it. But I'm trusting you that you're working on it. And so I want to thank you in advance because you're working on it right now. The Spirit of God is working in my body, and I give you praise. And then you go along, and you're maybe walking like this. The devil says to you, well, you don't look healed. He says, do you feel any better? I say, well, no, I don't feel any better. I'm not going by how I feel. And then you prayed for money. You asked God, thank God, I claim so much money, because I need so much money by the end of the year or end of this month. I claim this money, and I'm going to take this $10. I'm going to sow seed into the kingdom of God or give somebody. I'm believing God that money will be coming back to me as well. Amen. Now, if you sow seed all the time, it's going to come back to you. Amen. Don't just sow one day and expect to have a big harvest tomorrow. Well, you can maybe, but if God told you, but if you sow continual seed, it'll keep coming. Amen. You know, out here we have a little piece of property out here. We took out all the asphalt. We took that out, and they put new soil in there, and they put the seed in there. And for a couple of days, it didn't look like anything happening. We're just wondering why in the afternoon it didn't come out that day. I was saying, oh man, that seed is not working. And we went to bed, come back again, it still isn't working. At the end of the week, it still didn't work. But you know it was working. There's going to be times in your life that you don't feel like God's doing anything for you. It might seem like there's nothing happening, but God's working on it. You know, when you pray for somebody, God has to work with those people. Work on their hearts, work on their mind, like he's been working on yours for how many years? Trying to change you. Finally, your dad's gone. Now you change. You know, your parents' prayer is still working even when your parents have died, gone to heaven. Amen? You know, I sobered up. By the way, this is a little book I wrote a number of years ago. It's called Discovering Your New Life. I read it this afternoon. It's absolutely wonderful, amazing. I wonder who this guy was. It's a little book. It's only $2. I read it, and you know, the Lord is good. And I sobered up. And each day went by, things got better. And I used to get worried about a lot of stuff, overwhelmed me. I learned not to worry. But you know what? I have not gotten over that. I still have a chance to worry every day. It's not going to go away. Worry is going to always be there. As long as you live in this world, you're going always have to have worry. Worries are going to be there all the time. You're going to have to learn how to deal with them. Or they'll deal with you. Praise God. Okay. So don't worry about anything. Pray about anything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for it. If you feel like running away, well, go ahead, run away. See how fast you go, so far you go. You don't have any money anyway, so. So sometimes all we want to do is escape. We want to avoid situations. We want to run from our cares. We want to leave our worries behind. Here's what the psalmist said, Psalms 55 and 6. He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I would fly away and be at rest." You know, if he made that statement today, maybe the psalmist would have said, "Oh, I wish I had a fast car. I'd drive as fast as I can out of here and get away from here." Well, it's not Thunder Bay that's your problem. You're the problem. You know, cares make you feel like running away and hiding, but it doesn't solve anything. We want to escape and, you know, run away from our trials, and perhaps, you know, maybe it'll happen for a short time. When we take a vacation, for example, from life or anything, we find that we come back, they're still waiting for you. He said, "We've been waiting for you." You know, there are problems waiting for you at the airport. Maybe by your driveway. So we all need to face our cares with God's strength, with God's cares. God said He would help us in our tough times, didn't He? Here's what Hebrews 4:16 says. "Let us come boldly to the throne of gracious, to our gracious God. We'll receive His mercy, and we'll find grace to help when we need it most." You know, He promises if we go to Him, go to the throne of grace and tell Him. You know, Jesus is a high priest. You know, Jesus today is your high priest. He's out there at the right hand of the Father, and we're here physically speaking, but we're there spiritually with Him. But when we go to Him, the Bible says He'll take your burdens, your cares. And the Scripture says we'll find grace to help when we need it most. Hebrews 4:16, the New Living. The psalmist says in Psalm 46:1, he says, "God is our refuge." You know, if you fell in the water, somebody threw you something to keep you afloat, you know, or burden keep you away from the storms of life, you know, we need a refuge in life. We need a safety. He's our strength. You might not feel like a strong person right now, but really, you're stronger than you feel. You're stronger than you feel right now. The Bible says, "He that's within you is greater than he that's in the world. The strength of God is in you." Learn to release that strength. How? By speaking positively. Speaking about what God said. Reminding your mind, your own memory, and talk about what God did for you. He said, "I remember this before. God took me out of a situation. He's going to do it again." You know what the Bible says in Psalm 34:19? The Bible says God will do it again. He'll do it again and again and again. So God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. We have God. You know, Jesus said there's fresh cares coming every day. There's fresh worries coming at you every day. We can't escape them, but God says if you give it to Him, He'll care for you. He will care for you. He'll take care of every need. And Jesus said, Matthew 6:22, 27, and 34, the Amplified Bible says, who of you by worrying can add 1 hour or length to his own life? You know, we can't solve problems on our own. That's why we need God. We need Him to help us. He says, verse 34 says, don't worry, so don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its trouble all on its own. Jesus said there's more trouble coming, but listen, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to help you. Thank you, Lord. So you can't get rid of this. As long as you live in this world, here's the reality check. There'll be troubles, but God says, I want to be there for you. Somebody says, you know, I remember, Dr. Higgins says one time a lady came up to him and in the prayer line says, oh, I pray that you take all, that, you know, God will take, all my heavy burdens. I can only carry some of them. One guy says, I pray that God will take all of my worries. Well, he said, I can't pray that because you'd have to die to have no worries. I mean, they're there all the time. But God said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be there for you. So God will, we have to deal with our issues, our problems, our anxieties through the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 28, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart and you'll find rest for your souls. But for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You know, the Word of God is not hard. You know, He'll tell us what to do. Thank God. How many of you have a worry right now? I thought you'd give them up to the Lord. Huh? Huh? We've given them to the Lord. He's got them. I don't have a care in the world. Say, I don't have a care in the world. Say, I don't care how I feel or what comes to my mind. God's taking care of me. You know, you can't always see it right away. But He's there. That's what He promised. He's going to be there. No, God is going to take all. He's going to do more, the Bible even said, even more than you're able to pray about. That's a good deal. You know, here in Amplified Bible, in Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to whom was able to carry His purpose out and do super abundantly more than we might ask or dare to think or infinitely beyond our greatest prayers and hopes and dreams, according to His power that's at work within us. God is at work in us right now. He's working on our behalf. And so we can't let our own minds control stuff. Don't limit God to your mind. Don't limit God to all the information around you coming from maybe the bank or maybe even the doctor or your past experiences. Don't limit God to those things. God is greater than your past. He's greater than medical science. He's greater than the biggest financier, the greatest bank. It's kind of funny, you know, I'm thinking about it. When we went to the bank there, my wife and I were sitting there, we need some money to build this church. I remember getting afraid because we were doing some things, we're planning things, you know, and the builder told us, well, you know, just what do you want in your building? You know, we started building this whole idea. He said, I want us to, what do you want in that building? So we had named it all, and we worked on it. This is, a few years back. And I said, how much do you want to spend about it on it? I said, this much money. And he laughed at me. Because you can't build a money with $150,000. God is big, you know. And as soon as we were done, it came to about $3 million what we wanted to do. I said, Lord, well, what am I going to get this money? I know the people that is in my church. They're not millionaires. We're not going to get no federal funding. We're not going to get any provincial funding. The church, the city is not giving us any tax breaks or any kind of money. We don't have Coca-Cola funding us. We don't have any sponsors. You know, and so the Lord worked us out, right? So in this past 10 years, we paid for that building on Court Street. We paid for this building and all the stuff that we put into it. And we paid for another building over there in Geraldton, and we bought the building. When we bought the building, we had a bunch of people there. Wait a minute. We had a bunch of people there, and they want to help, right? Okay, we're going to have a board. And as soon as they said how much the money is going to cost us, everybody wanted to quit the board. Guess who signed it? I did. I had to come and sign and say, okay, I'll take care of it. And so guess what? I remember putting the last $50,000 on that thing. Not me personally, but our ministry. So we were able to pay for the last sale of that thing. Thank God. And so in the last 10 years, we paid for $10 million. we paid for three buildings. That's not bad. I don't know who's doing that today. That's not getting funding. No sponsorship. Can you say amen? Because God is bigger than that. Now, I got up 4, 3 o'clock in the morning one morning and said, Lord, when am I going to get $3 million? But God knows. Amen? And a lot of times, you know, you act big. You know, you're worshiping God here and the sound's on and everybody's worshiping. Yeah, praise God, is great. Oh, he's wonderful. God's faithful. And you get all tough and everything. Where's the devil? Yeah, where's this? Kick the devil. And then you get at home and you think about all your troubles. Oh. You know? And the devil say, you're acting tough now. Where's all your faithful friends? Even though you leave here and you sing how great God is and you get in your car and the devil's sitting in there. He said, let me help you with that buckle. And you go home, he's waiting there on your couch with potato chips. Huh? He's telling you how much you got to worry tonight. Oh, you got a lot of worries. You got this to worry about, that to worry about. I don't know about you, but I get up sometimes. I think about a lot of worries. And you know, I don't like getting up at 3 or 4 in the morning and start thinking about stuff. It's kind of crazy sometimes, but you think about all the stuff that goes on in your life. You know, there's so many things to be worried about. If I didn't have any, I'll take everybody else's worry on. I'll worry about President Trump and Israel and nuclear problems of, you know, Chernobyl, all the people over there in the east. So I worry about everything. Oh, my Lord, it gets bigger and bigger. So your words are very important during a time of trouble. What you say is important. We got to learn to talk right in the heat of the battle and in difficult times of conflict. You know, you got conflict in your mind. There are things that you might look bad, but you got to say the right thing, that God's on your side. Everybody say, God is on my side. Say, he's working on my problem right now. Say, I don't have a care. I don't have a worry. I'm not going down. Just like he said, I'm staying up. I'm going over. Amen. So You know, in James chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, the apostle James says, you know, your mouth will take you to the shores of what you say. In other words, your mouth, your tongue leads you to the destination of what you say. Faith is activated by word. If you have faith in problems, then that's what you're going to have. If you have faith in God's word, then that's what you're going to have. Start learning to talk right. So we have to activate the positive, don't we? I know it's difficult. I know you might feel shaky and you might be afraid, but you need to say it. God's word work. It's working for you right now. Now it says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of us should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make large horses go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth. He's talking about how important the tongue is. And a small rudder can make a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. The winds of adversity might be against you and pushing you, but if you learn to speak right, you can get yourself right out of that storm. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who can control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Some of us at times, and some of you, you need to learn to be quiet. If you're going to say something bad, don't say anything. Because you'll be sorry later. Because I'll punch you. I'm just kidding. Erase that. Go back to that. Okay. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. If you think about all the bad things you said, and if you, this is the Bible. He said, you'll reap everything you say. Jesus said, Mark 11:24, you'll have what you say. And people are having what they've been saying for years. Right? Proverbs 12 and 18 says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Well, you can bring that healing on yourself. Be wise about your own body and say, thank God I'm strong. You know, tell your body, listen, you're not going to eat all that ice cream tonight. Right? Because sometimes, you know, you say, well, you know, I don't drink coffee, but you ate a pail of ice cream last night. You get mad at everybody who drinks coffee, right? Say, look at those guys. Look at it drinking all that coffee. Oh, I wouldn't do that. And then you're eating this big can of whatever. So, Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. We need to get that word in our mouth, because you'll stand according to what you say, according to the word of God. Stay committed to the word. Like the three Hebrew children, we have to stick to the word of God just like they did. You will have an opportunity someday to throw in the towel, but don't do it. The cares of life will always be there daily. Notice these three boys, what they committed themselves to before they face a hard situation. You need to understand this right now. You need to understand this right now. There's going to come a time and place. I'm not prophesying this. I'm just telling you this is how life is, because Jesus said it. When he talked about, you know, the storms of life. He said, I can tell who's going to fail or fall. You know, as a professional counselor, I was counseling before many years, and I still counsel. People come into my office, and I do marriage counseling as well. And there's a sale running on right now. I'm not kidding, no. But, you know, as a pastor, I talk to people. And they talk to me, and they want something. Like, say, for instance, healing or solving a problem. And they come to me, and they talk to me. I can tell exactly if they're going to fail or succeed. You sit around, you get around someone, you can tell right away how they're going to be. Jesus said this, the storms of life comes to everybody. There's nobody here is going to go get rid of a storm. You'll always have a storm in your life. And so the Bible says the man who hears the word and puts the word into practice is a man that builds his life on a foundation. When the storms of life comes, he'll still be standing when all is said and done. And there'll be some people that heard the same thing he did or they did. They'll fall. The same word, the same. They had the same pastor, the same church, but some of them go down, some of them say, no. Why? Because some of them were doers of the word. That's what Jesus said. Read it in Matthew chapter 7. The last few, 4 or 5 verses in there, he talked about the storms of life come to every one of us. You know, James says, be a doer of the word, only don't deceive yourself by not being a doer. Don't just talk about it. You know, there's something called, you know, what is that term we use, honey? What's that word we use when somebody looks like they're walking by faith, they sound like they're walking by faith, and they actually talk like they're in faith? It's called mental assent. What does that mean, mental assent? Mental assent, you know, it looks like faith. And you wonder why, you know, some people don't know the difference. It's like a phony $10 bill. It looked like a $10 bill. That Christian there said, I believe in healing, and yet they're still sick or they die early. Some people are just about dying, and you ask them, do you believe in healing? I believe in healing. I believe I'm healed right now, and they're actually almost dying, and they walk out of the hospital. They're supposed to die. What's the difference? Because one guy believed the word, and the guy didn't. The other guy just said he believed the word. He said, I believe the Bible. But he really didn't believe the Bible. And so it's kind of, tricky. So you know, one thing about it, keep saying what the Bible says, and sooner or later you'll believe it. You know, there are some people that say things, lies or whatever it is, they say things and they believe themselves, but they've lied about it. They believe in lies. Let's believe the word of God. Say what the word says about our situations, right? So here's the boys. They've committed themselves before they face a hard situation. And I said this before I said that situation. I said, you have to determine right now what you're committed to. I'm going to commit to the word. Before the next problem comes, before another fresh worry comes, I'm not going to be worried about it. I told the Lord back there, I said, Lord, I'll never worry again. I'm not going to fear anything in life. Because your word says, Psalm 23 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's me and you talking to God. Psalm 23 is you talking to God. Right. The Lord is my shepherd. He's our shepherd. Jesus is our shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. I will not lack for money. I look at this building and said, God, when we didn't have any money, we didn't have any money. I said, Lord, I don't have a care in the world. I thank you for all the money that's coming in this church. There's money coming in. Where people are giving us money. Thank God people are bringing money to us. You know, I told somebody the other day, there was a guy here last year, he gave a $70,000 check to me. I mean, thank God for that, right? Another guy came back, he gave a $40,000 check. Another one gave a $30,000 check. And these are not millionaire people. These are people of God that just, they believe God wanted them to give. Well, we paid off the building. You know, somebody gave me $5,000, a couple of times. It gave me $5,000. You know about that one time, another time. And you know about that. That's just a couple of things I can mention right now. Somebody just gave me why did it happen to me? Because I said, Father, I thank you that someone's giving me money right now. I need that money. And it brought it to me. Amen. He said, I wanted to give it. One guy came here not too long ago. I'm standing there with my wife sitting. A guy came to church one night. And he said, I just came here directly to give you this check for your ministry. I look at it. Oh, wow, that's wonderful. Thank you. Thank the Lord. And I said this not because we had lots of money. I said that when the time was low. And we didn't have money. We laid off the pastors here not too long, a few years back. We laid everyone. I said, guys, I'm going to lay you off. If you lay it off, I lay off too. So we laid the pastors off. And guess what we said? Thank God the money is coming. The money is on its way right now. And we have every need met. And guess what? There'll be more needs coming. There'll be more things to do, more projects to do. Amen? In your house, you're always going to have something, right? You fix this and the other thing went down. You know, you need new tires once in a while. I'm going to read this book right now. Okay, let's talk about the three Hebrew children and we'll close. It's 10 after. These guys took all my time. I said, you guys taking my time. Sorry about that. We'll talk to you later. We're going to have lunch together. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. By the way, I thank God for giving me my wife. My wife's the most beautiful person you could ever meet. You know, we were young one time. You know, we're a little bit older now, and we still look not too bad. I mean, we need some paint. We have some chip. Chips in our vehicle, you know, our vehicle of life. You know, I looked at our pictures. We look wonderful, and Lord, we still look pretty good, honey. Not too bad. Somebody says, well, how did you meet her? I said, well, she ran after me. Well, you know I'm lying, right? Okay, so anyway, I shouldn't lie in church. Daniel chapter 3, verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14 and 18. Is that what it is? Okay. Nebuchadnezzar, you know him. He said to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or worship the gods, the gold statue I've set up. I'll give you one more chance. Here's the devil tells you that. Yeah? This is the devil telling you. I'll give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made. When you hear the sound of the musical instruments, but if you refuse, I will take away all your ministry. I'll take away your house, your car, and everything else, and all your children. He says, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace, and what God is able to rescue you from my power? Notice that last sentence. What God is able to rescue you from my power? The devil talks to people right now in this room and says, what God will never rescue you. Never rescue you. Who do you think you are? Believing Roma Fisher and that Bible there. That's the way the devil talks to you. I know you got away from it last time. You got healed last time. But this time you're going to die. You know, you got to fight back. I mean, you got to fight back. You go, you know. Let's phone, who can we use this time? Joyce Meyer's ministry. You know, there's a Bible there in front of you. Why don't you read that? Right? And then we always look to somebody else. Let's look to God. Right? I don't mind, you know, if you want to do that, fine. I'm not against it. Go ahead. If you need help, do it. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Okay, just leave me alone here. Okay, so I want to read this. Even if you have to go home, I'm going to read it. Okay, some of you are looking at me like, when's he going to get over this? I'm not. Wait. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. That's what you got to do. You got to talk back to the devil. When he talks to you, talk to him. No, devil. Listen, by his stripes, I'm healed. The Bible says I'm healed. Well, look at you. You don't look healed. I didn't say I looked healed. I said I am healed. God says I'm healed. He said, you'll never have any supply. No, I'm going to get the supplies because God said it. He's good with it. If we're thrown, listen to this. They're talking back to the devil. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. I mean, he's talking to, there's a discussion here. But here's the devil talking, and you're talking back. If you don't talk back to the devil in your time of the trouble, you're going to just hear his voice and not yours and the voice of the word of the Lord. Look at that's their faith. Verse 16 is speaking about their faith. God is able to do this for me. That's their faith. And verse 18 is their commitment that no matter what happens, I'm sticking with God. Verse 18 says, but even if he doesn't, we want you to make it clear to you, your majesty or Mr. Devil, that we will never serve your gods or worship your golden statues. So these young men knew how to speak during a very stressful situation, a worrisome situation, a life and death matter. It was a very trying time. So they chose to speak what God said about them, and they were able to overcome. And that, my brother and sister, I lay before you tonight. Let's all stand. On our hands. Okay, everybody stand up. Praise God. Is that any good or what? Was that any good? How many of you got encouraged? Well, there's two or three of you. Amen. I want you to close your eyes one more time and strike me a tune. Can you make it faster? I want you to close your eyes. We prayed a prayer earlier. That prayer was called the prayer of commitment. The prayer of casting your care. You committed yourself to the Lord. You say, God, I'm yours. Your way is my way. And the prayer of casting your care on the Lord. So you took whatever is burdening you. And you said, God, I'm presenting this situation to you. It's complicated. But not for him. Maybe for you it is. See, Lord, this is a situation. It's a tough situation. I'm not able to carry it. I feel like I'm burnt out about this situation. I feel like I'm giving up. I'm drowning. I feel like it's not doing anything. I've had this for 5 years now. I have this for 10 years now. Well, it don't matter. God is working for you.